To see Brother Eli at the post of duty. It's very true that the Lord is merciful and kind and loving. For if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be having Brother Eli today. So let's not take it for granted that he's here. And I don't take it for granted that anybody else is here. Because only the Lord knows what we all had to go through during the week. But week after week after week, he brings us here again. So we want to thank the Lord for that. I would like to take a topic in Sunday school for the next for this week and a couple of more weeks, just to talk on a topic that is not new. It's something that we hear here and there. But I thought that I would bring it in some way just to help some of our folks in our midst. I would like to read from the book of Psalm chapter 43. Psalm chapter 43, just verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you yet again for your grace that has brought us to church. Thank you for keeping us safe, Lord. How sick our brother Eli was, And yet you revived him, Lord. Father, we thank you for this, Lord, especially this morning to see the pastor walk in, Lord. And Father, how he was so sick. Yet, Lord, by your merciful hand, by your grace, by your love, you revived him once again that he could stand once more in the post of duty. Father, may you strengthen him and help him this morning that, Lord, he may be used of you to edify your children. We commit the Sunday school, Lord, into your hands, asking that you may speak to us, Lord, and help us in the things that we go through in our lives. We commit it into your hands now for the glory of your name. Amen. 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 You may be seated down, saints. Amen. So David, in writing this verse that we just read, he was going through something that I think most of us at one point in our lives, we also go through things like that. Now, some people are more prone to it than others, but none of us is immune to feeling low and disquieted in the spirit. And we can come to a place where we can write down like David did, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Now, this is not the only place that David wrote this. If we go to the Psalm 143 that I would like to read for you this morning, from verse number 1. And he says in this psalm, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul." So he was going through something in his soul that would make him feel like this. And he would say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And he says, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He's feeling something in his soul that is depressing him and pushing him down, and he's very sad and disquieted in the soul, in the realm of the spirit. And this happens to a lot of us many, many times, that there are times where we feel depressed. We don't enjoy the things we used to enjoy anymore. But if you really try to look and see what is the problem, many times people can't put a finger on why they are feeling the way they are feeling. So they go on with this sadness and a mood that is just down and cast down, and they feel hopeless and they feel helpless, you know. It's a real, real feeling. If you are ever in a place like that, you know, sometimes people say to you, "Get a hold of yourself, man, you know, move on, you know." But when you are in such a place like that, it's an actual location where you are. It takes somebody who knows the way to bring you out of there, because you are hopeless and helpless, and people would say, "Get a hold of yourself, shake yourself out of it." You can't, because you're hopeless and helpless, you know, and you're not interested in doing anything. You don't get joy out of any of the things that you normally get joy out of. You've got no motivation whatsoever to do anything. There seems to be nothing wrong with you medically, but you wake up and you're wondering, "Why did I wake up?" You know, and you're just in a certain place, or it's not an easy place to be. You feel like you're worthless, and any small little thing can make you cry. I mean, I'm talking from experience that I've gone through things like this myself too. You're very irritable. The smallest, slightest thing, and boom, you're crying. You know, and you can't tolerate what other people are doing, you know, like they are enjoying what they are enjoying, but you are just stuck in this place, and there's no point, you feel like, to your life, you know. And these are very dangerous grounds, because the more you are in that place, the more you begin to think, what is the alternative to what I am feeling? What is the alternative to this miserable existence that I have? That's where you find now people begin to entertain thoughts of suicide and self-harm and things like that. I was privileged a few years ago to work in a place where it's a place where You know, places like the Samaritans, when you ring them, there's somebody answering the phone there, and you talk to them and tell them what you're going through. They try to help you. I worked in a place like that a few years ago. I was doing 4 hours twice a week going there, and it was mainly for teenagers. And they would call, and it was very, very surprising to me that we would get handover from the other shift, you know, and then the team leader would say, this week we have been getting mostly suicidal calls, you know. And then I get on the shift and I see that that is exactly what is happening. Every call you get, it's these young people thinking of things like that. And I remarked to one of the people, I said, isn't it strange that how these problems come in waves like this? And they said, no, we have been here long enough to see that. That sometimes when a certain music or band comes into Ireland and they do their concert, we know that for the next few weeks we'll be getting calls about young people thinking about suicide. And I thought that was very, very, very enlightening, because many times we take this music industry and things like that for granted, but it has an actual effect on the lives of people. You know, when you go to reading the message, the prophet speaks about having the blues, you know. And he says, my dad used to speak about having the blues. I didn't know what he meant in those days, but now I know what it is, you know. Feeling low and dejected and things like that. And in other messages, he says it affects people as they grow older, you know. But it's too bad that in the days that we are living in, with so much pressure in our lives, it seems to have changed the age group that it affects, you know. It's not only old people anymore or middle-aged people. It's even affecting young people now. And it's very, very perilous times that we are living in, that if we as parents do not take notice of these things, we can let our children suffer, yet we've got the solution of how to help them, you know, because you start to avoid family or friends. You just don't want to be with people. You are in a place that is just difficult. And I think that everybody here can identify with it, because depression is very similar to grief when you have lost a loved one. You feel this overwhelming sense of grief and sadness and loss. You just cry. But the thing with grief is that it comes and it goes, you know, and you start to improve a little bit and you've got hope to look forward to a future, even though you know your loved one won't be there. But depression is feeling that way all the time, you know, and you can see how difficult it is. And one of the things that make people even become more fearful is that they can't even bear the thought of a future, because they have seen how much they are in trouble here and they dread even the future, which is what is supposed to give you hope. So it's a very, very difficult place to be. And there are many reasons why we go through this. And my desire in taking this topic is that to help especially the children that we have, because most of them are not in here, thank God. They are up there. But in interacting with the children, you begin to notice some things. And I'm praying that we'll catch on to something here that's going to help us to deal with these things. Because most of them are easy to deal with when they are still little problems. But when it has become something rooted in and it's become a spirit around your house, it can be a very difficult thing to dislodge. But by the grace of the Lord, it is possible. So here where we are reading, he says, therefore, in verse 4, is my spirit overwhelmed within me? My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsts after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit,
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord. So David knew exactly where to go and get the solution for what he was feeling. But my point that I would like to lay today as just as a background is to show that we are all prone to this kind of a thing. But there's a solution which David has already mentioned there. We'll labor into it on the third week. But we are all prone to getting into a place like this. And at the time that David wrote this psalm, he was going through difficult circumstances. You remember how David was anointed by the prophet that you will be king instead of Saul. And when Saul learned of it, he went into depression, you know. But his solution was to try and get rid of David. And for 15 years, he went after David, trying to kill him. And in all those 15 years, never did David write a psalm where he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He was handling it and going through it and doing the best that he can. But when the issue of Absalom came, and Absalom came and killed his own brother, and the next thing, David loved Absalom. And Absalom was quite a political genius. And the next thing, Absalom is driving David out of the kingdom. This is when David wrote this. Because there was something there that he couldn't deal with. He had certain expectations of his children, but because they were not met in the way that he expected them, and there was this relationship that was supposed to function a certain way, but it was not functioning that way, David went into a very dark place. And he wrote, "O my soul, why art thou cast down?" And he says, "My spirit is overwhelmed within me," because these emotions were too complex for him to process. That my own son could do this and do this to his own sister, and then now this one schemes and kills his own brother. What am I supposed to do? So it was a very, very complex situation to deal with, yet he still loved his son Absalom. So we find right there that these feelings of overwhelmed and depression and things like this, even though they might try to solve it from a medical perspective, the solution is not there, because the problem is not in the medical realm. It is there in the spiritual realm, in the relationships that we have one with another. And when something goes wrong in that relationship, it often can throw a person into these kind of dark places. Now, let us look at a couple of people just to cement that point so that we can labor more next week in it to try and bring it to a place where we can look at the solution. In the book of Job, chapter 3, we find something there. Now, dealing with issues of depression, you don't find so many scriptures about it, neither do you find quotes in the message that are more detailed, but there's enough in there for us to glean something that can help us, point us to a helpful place. So in the book of Job, we all know what Job went through, that he was a rich man, well-favored by the Lord, and the Lord had compassed about him by a hedge of fire to keep the enemy away from Job. But something happened that Job was not aware of, and God was actually bragging about Job. "Have you considered my servant Job?" He wasn't aware of this, but things began to go wrong in the life of Job. That in one day he lost all that he had, even to all his children, and the next thing his health was failing. Now, how does Job process all these things? And in Job chapter 3, verse number 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. That's how he began to process this. "And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Amen. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not into the number of the months. Lord, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the days of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? So he was in a place where now the only alternative that he was thinking was sensible to his existence was to die, to even curse the day he was born, to say, I wish I wasn't born. I wish I had died from my mother's womb. So it's not an easy place to get to. You would have to lose all hope to come to a place like this. And Job came to a place like that where he cursed that day and wished he wasn't even born. He actually says that I should have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. In his mother's womb, he thought that being stillborn was better than his existence at that time, because something had happened that had brought him to a place where he was dejected and his soul was discouraged. He had no hope for the future. Now, what is that thing that caused him to think like this? Now, if we go again into Job chapter 10, we begin to see something there. And he speaks again, and he says, my soul is weary of life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I'll speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Now, if you are reading between the lines there, Job is saying, God is condemning me. But is that what is happening? No. God is not condemning Job. God is actually saying, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him. But because he is not aware of that conversation, and he is looking at his relationship with God, that God has blessed me all my life. He has brought me to where I am. God has put me above my peers and everything. But things go wrong somewhere. He begins to think something has gone wrong with my relationship with God. Yeah. That's what I want to show you, saints, that these things many times begin in the realm of our relationships. When you are expecting a brother to love you a certain way and he doesn't, and you sit in your car and you begin to sulk and think, why didn't Brother David greet me this after church today? You begin to entertain those things, and soon enough you can come to a conclusion that he doesn't love me. And if you can come to a conclusion like that about one brother, it's only a matter of time you come to a conclusion about everybody else, the same conclusion. The same thing happened in the life of the prophet. He says here in the message, the uniting time and sign, and one of my main things that always hurt me through my life has been a nervous condition. That's when I get so worn that I get real weary. He's talking about the same thing. I kind of feel like nobody cares for me. You see? In one place, it's like I can't even get 2 minutes to rest. People coming to talk to me and all this and what. But he still would come to a place where he thinks, nobody cares for me. That's the same place Job was here. He's looking and thinking, God is condemning me. Why is he condemning me? Look in verse number 3. Is it good unto thee that thou should oppress? He's talking to God saying, why are you oppressing me? So he's perceiving that something has gone wrong in his relationship with God to the point that God is condemning him and oppressing the man. And it sent him into depression. That thou should despise the work of thine own hands. So Job is saying, you are looking at me, your creation, and you are despising me. It's saying, huh? Many times wives think their husbands are despising them. Many times husbands think my wife is despising me. But the worst of it all is when a child thinks that my father or my mother despise me. This will send them into this place right there. Because something has gone wrong in the relationship. Instead of receiving the love that they are expecting from a parent, they begin to think, he condemns me, he's oppressing me, he despises me. You can be sure it will come to this. Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as men see? Are thy days as the days of men? Are thy years as men's day? That thou inquirest after my iniquity and search after my sin. And imagine a man thinking like that about God. Huh? Verse 8, thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. So exactly the opposite of what he is receiving from God, but he is perceiving that God wants to destroy him. And if God wants to destroy you, what's the point of living then? No wonder the man would say, my spirit disquieteth within me. I'm overwhelmed. I wish I never was born. Because the very source of love that is supposed to give him hope for tomorrow seemingly has been taken away from him. And he gets into this kind of place here. Verse number 16. For it increaseth, thou huntest me as a fierce lion. Job is saying, God is hunting me like a fierce lion. Huh? Verse 18, wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Or that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. That's a terrible place for any person to be. To feel that nobody loves you, and you feel that it's better I was carried from my mother's womb to the grave. That's a terrible existence. And imagine to feel like this every single day of your life. And then all the people around you seemingly don't seem to care. And you come to the conclusion like the prophet, nobody cares for me. That's a sad thing. But I've got news for you today. That is a lie of the devil, because God loves you. He loves me. I mean, if you were ever honest with yourself and you sit down and you begin to take stock of the things that God does for you, they are amazing things. Many of them you are not even aware of. I remember the time years ago when I suffered depression, I would come to church here and nobody would think that this brother has got something wrong. That's the danger of it. You know, one day I was driving from work. My wife doesn't like me to say this, but, you know, we go through things so that we can use them for the glory of God. And I drove my car at 170 kilometers per hour and closed my eyes and took my hands off the steering wheel because I thought it was better that I be not here. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, because I wondered, why is it not crashing? And I opened my eyes. I was like, hi. Then I went home. These things are so real. But one day I remember I went to Brother Vladimir's house and I sat there. I was so discouraged. I was just in a certain place. And we were sitting there. The brother was trying the best he can, but I just wasn't there. And I don't know what inspired the brother. And he took this little tiny little book and said, oh, have you ever read this book, Brother Will, about Abraham Lincoln? And I took the little book and I opened the first page. I read the first paragraph, something, a small flicker of light. It showed me that, but why have I come to the conclusion that nobody loves me? Why would the brother invite me for dinner and give me this little book to read, there must be something he loves me. And that was the beginning of something. I began to see that, no, the devil had deceived me into this place. And that's my message this morning. If anybody is in that kind of a place, don't listen to the devil. The Lord loves you. He doesn't want you to be in that place. You know, imagine he sent his only son to die for you. That must show something. Even to think about how the brethren would greet you after church, God bless you. There must be something there. So don't listen to the devil. We want to look a little bit more next week at Jeremiah and Elijah, because they also came to this place. Then in the last week, we'll look at Paul, the apostle, because he also came to this place. But there's something there that shows we've got what we need to never let anybody into a place like that. We've got what we need to never let any of our children into a place like that. Today, we've got social media. It covers and masks a lot of things. And you just think your child is away there on the phone. Maybe they're avoiding contact. Maybe they feel like, but you can do something about it. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you yet again for your grace and your mercies, Lord. How so thankful we are this morning to see our pastor in the congregation. We are so thankful to see our brother Eli. Lord, you are wonderful. You are merciful. I pray now, Lord, that you would be with us as we start the song service. Lead us through it, Lord, and bring us, Father, to a place that when your word comes, Lord, how we desire to hear something from you, Lord, that would encourage us and bring us on, Lord, for another week. Father, we commit it into your hands. Bless this service, Lord, and watch over the children upstairs. Bless them too in their Sunday school as we commit them to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.